I'm saying number 212, right across the page. What a lovely name. Jason, we're going to sing together.
Just a closer walk with Ruth, chapter 1. All right, well, last week we saw kind of a sad situation there. Verse 1 says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled." Yep, in the days when the judges ruled, it's like verse 25 in the previous chapter of Judges. See that? "In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes." And so the nation of Israel was going through a cycle of serving the Lord, backsliding away from the Lord, getting into trouble with the outside enemies. The Lord would allow them to overcome them, cause them to be servants and slaves. Then they would repent, get right with God, and God would bless the land again. And for a season they'd go serving the Lord until they started to backslide again. And they would go through that cycle again. We come to that one of these cycles in the book of Ruth. "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, most likely as a result of Israel's backsliding, getting away from the Lord, and the Lord judging them with a famine to get them to see the error of their way and to get back right with him. "That there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, a nearby country." Considered a Gentile type of country, and one that was not serving the Lord, not part of the promise that God gave to Jacob, and where he said to him, well, actually to Isaac, he said to him, "You stay in the land, I'll bless you. You leave the land, and I'll curse you." And so here they are leaving the land. Of course, they could probably give all kinds of reasons why they ought to leave. Famine in the land, but out they went. Verse 2, "And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, the name of the other Ruth, and they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband." Now we come to our portion today. We want to see now Naomi's return. Naomi's return. Verse 6, "Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah." So good news comes and causes Naomi to want to return back to the land. So there's something in here I want you to see. Good news. The gospel is good news. And the gospel is what the sinner needs to listen to and get back or get right with God. Good news. Well, what was the news? That God had visited his people in giving them bread. So the good news causes Naomi to want to return. It changed her life. What did? The good news. I mean, here she is down here in a foreign country. She's lost her husband. Her sons marry two of the daughters of the land of Moab. And then her two sons die. And there she is left in a strange land all by herself, a widow woman with the two daughters-in-law. And she hears some good news. Amen for that. This change that took place here would affect Orpah and Ruth, the two daughters-in-law, as well. It would change Naomi's life as well. And you know, that's what good news does, okay? Good news changes lives. And the best thing we can do is preach the good news to people, because it's what will save them, change them, make something good out of their life. But what had to take place here? In order for her to return, And this does not come out in the reading of it. You almost have to assume this was going on inside the people's lives here in our story. A repentance and confession saying, you know what? I left the best place. I need to go back. A repentance and confession will restore you also. How you doing? Are you away from the Lord? Have you backslidden away? Has there ever been a time in your life when you were closer to the Lord than you are right now? And if there is, then you need to get back to where you left. And Naomi heard good news, and a repentance and a confession will restore you also. What did she do? She had to turn from something. She had to turn from Moab. That was not the place for her to be. Back in Bethlehem, Judah was where she belongs. She had to also turn from the mistakes that were made. Having left the land, going down there, and even allowing their sons to marry the daughters of the land. Mistakes. Sometimes you have to turn from mistakes. What else did she turn from? She turned from graves of disobedience. You know, she had to leave there and leave her husband and two sons in graves in that foreign land. Graves of disobedience. And sometimes believers get graves of disobedience. And you know what? You need to turn and repent before you end up in the graves yourself. But she had to change her mind about things when she heard the good news and say, I'm going to return to the country of my God. I'm going to return. A repentance. You know, there's many today have a hard time with this matter of repentance and confession. Not only in the preaching of the gospel to the lost sinners, helping them to see that they need to repent of sin and turn from their wicked way and turn unto the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died on the cross for their sins. That message is not coming out loud and clear. And a lot of people are making a mental assent to scriptural things without a confession and a repentance going on inside. And you know what we end up having? We have false professions of faith in Jesus Christ. And false professions will never bring a true, real Christian life experience to pass. It'll bring a false one. That's all it can do. And so what we need to do is preach the gospel and call for sinners to repent and turn to Christ. Naomi needed to repent and turn back to the country where she came from. And this good news also would affect others. How we respond to the good news, how we respond to God's calling us even back unto himself from a backslidden state will affect others. And you know, when you respond to God and his calling on you, you may never know till heaven how your response to that affects others. Sometimes even the believer can get to thinking that it really doesn't matter if I get right with the Lord and really determine I'm going to serve him from here on out till death or till the rapture. It really doesn't. Oh, it does matter. It does matter. And every one of us, I would hope, would have this in our mind that when we decide to go with the Lord and draw nearer to him, it will affect others around you. And just wonder, how you doing? Is your life affecting others around you? The others around Naomi were these two girls, Orpah and Ruth. And they would be affected in a way that it won't be known until we all get to heaven. And many times that's how it will be with you. What could it be that caused these girls to stick with Naomi in her decision to return back? Could it be her radiant joy that was contagious? You know, here she She had some good news that she hadn't heard for a long time. Up till now, all she had was bad news. Bad things happening. Husband died. Sons die. Foreign land, left all by herself. What's that I overhear a conversation, two people talk? Yeah, we just came back from Bethlehem, Judah, and you know what? The famine's over, and they're experiencing great bounty up there. Naomi listening in? She heard a conversation. Somebody was talking about the good news from her land that she had left. I wonder, I know it doesn't say it in there. I wonder if her face lightened up. I wonder if the hope and joy started to shine out. And these two girls could see it and decided, we'll go with you. We'll go with you. Orpah and Ruth chose to go with her. And even though she exhorts them not to go with her, they said they're going to go. Let's go to verse 8. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. Notice, they both said this at this point. We will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. Naomi exhorts the two to return. You know, it's interesting to see this, that Naomi is blaming the Lord for the situation she's in. But by the time we get done with this book, she's going to be singing a different tune, okay? She's going to be singing a different song. And how often do we at times blame the Lord or think that the Lord isn't on our side or something like that? Or the Lord's allowing things to happen to me that are just a real problem. Yet, you know what? It really wasn't the Lord's fault at all. It was Naomi's. It was Elimelech's. They're the ones who left the land of promise and went away. And by the time this story is over, Naomi will be singing a different song. Naomi's name means pleasant. Pleasant. She's going to ask when she does finally arrive back home and the neighbors and everybody see her. They are glad to see her, but Naomi says, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. And Mara means bitter. Call me bitter. Whew. You know, even though she's returning back after the good news and everything, she still has a way to go to get back in fellowship with her God. And oh, how God is going to work to bring her back unto himself. Now, I know the whole story is about Ruth and Ruth and Boaz and what's going to happen there. But in the background sits Naomi, a child of God, who is kind of bitter against God. I wonder, is that you? Is that you tonight? You kind of have a little bitterness down inside against all that God has allowed in your heart and life. It's not God's fault. The things that happen, we bring upon ourselves quite often. So we need to be careful that we don't blame God. Let's thank God even in the midst of troubles and say, Lord, you know the beginning to the end. and keep your eyes on him. And don't do as Naomi did here. Now, it's easy for us to say this. We're not the ones that lost a husband and two sons. It's often easy for us to say to someone else, another Christian, to come on, keep your eyes on the Lord when they've really gone through a difficult time. But you know, we all need to keep in mind, our God knows exactly what's going on. And he's promised a beautiful ending to anything that we go through. So, keep your eyes on the Lord. Naomi exhorts the two, Orpah and Ruth, you know what, daughters-in-law, return back to your houses, to your people, and each of you to the house of your husband. In other words, get married again. Go back home and get married and carry on your lives. And she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said, we will return with thee unto thy people. Now, what would make them say that? I think, again, they must have seen something in Naomi that meant more to them than their own land. And they would go back with Naomi to her land. I wonder, how is our testimony? Is it such that when people see it, they would want what we have? You know, some Christians put forth a testimony that sometimes would turn anybody off from wanting to follow whatever it is you have. I would say, get back in fellowship with the Lord and enjoy the things of the Lord and rejoice in his blessings and the things that he has done for us, and let others know the joy of the Lord in your heart and life so that they too will want that. You know, a lot of time when people get saved, it's because of the witness and testimony of a Christian they've been watching. And because they see a difference in that Christian, they say, you know what, whatever he or she has, I want. And many times, this is what causes people to get saved. I would venture to say, if we could go around this room tonight and listen to a testimony, maybe we would have to draw it out. Maybe we'd have to interview you a little bit. But I'm sure we would find somewhere in the interview that there was a Christian who was instrumental in causing you to realize your need of a Savior, and that you needed this salvation through the Lord. I would venture to say every one of you can point to some experience in your life. And if it wasn't for that Christian living godly, happily, joyfully, you may have never gotten saved. Imagine that. And I wonder, when people look at you, do they see Christ in you? And if not, you need to start showing Christ in you. Well, what happens here? Verse 14. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. But Ruth clave unto her. And that's the turning point of this whole book right there. The turning point. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if up but death part thee and me. And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Orpah and Ruth choose whom they will serve. Orpah chooses her own people and her own gods. You know, sometimes even after witnessing to somebody and trying your best to try to win them to Christ, they decide not to go that direction. There's not much you can do. You know, it's whosoever will may come. And not everyone wills to come to Christ. In fact, most will not to go to Christ. Many are called, few are chosen. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof, the way of destruction. The broad road leadeth to destruction. Narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. And few there be that go in thereat. Wow. Orpah chooses her own people and her own gods. That's what sinners do. You know, you need to come to the God of creation. And the God, let me say it this way, of Israel. You got to come to the God of Israel. Salvation is of the Jews. Don't turn from that. Oh boy, it's getting harder and harder for this world to see anything good in Israel. But I'll tell you what, salvation is of the Jews. And the message needs to go forward that way. Well, Orpah chooses her own people and gods. That's what sinners do. Ruth chooses Naomi's God. Ruth, a pagan Gentile, by God's grace, chooses God. That's what you see here. And by the way, unless you're of Jewish heritage, you're a Gentile. And if you sit here tonight and say, Pastor, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I have everlasting life. You know what? By God's grace, you're saved. You don't deserve it. All right? And none of us deserve it. And by God's grace, Ruth chose God. And how'd she do it? Through the good news of bread. That's what it says. Bread in Bethlehem. You know who Jesus is? He is the bread of what? Life. He's the bread of life. And this message, you know, the book of Ruth needs to be in the Bible, okay? Just like the book of Jonah needs to be in the Bible. I don't care what scoffers will say about Jonah. I don't believe a man could be swallowed by a fish. Well, I do. And that book is needed to be in the Bible. We've been preaching from that Sunday morning. And so does this book need to be in the Bible. It's a beautiful book. Not only is telling of a great love story, but it's a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and how he loves us and how he gave himself. And also it's a beautiful picture of the church and Christ and how Jesus, like Boaz, loves the church like Ruth. This book needs to be here. And isn't it interesting that the good news was centered around the fact that God had visited his people in giving them bread. The bread of life, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Ruth chose that. Go to Ephesians. It'll be good for you to just see this again. You know, I'm glad that many of you are familiar with the various passages of the Word of God, but this is always good. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened, or made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That would be us Gentiles right there before Christ. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, made us alive together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. I would say the book of Ruth brings that out clearly every time you read it. It's like a trophy case of God's love and mercy and grace. Every time you read the book of Ruth, what does it do? It shows the exceeding riches of his grace. And it's exceeding. By the time we're done here, I hope by God's grace to be able to preach it in such a way that you realize God brought Ruth and Boaz together. And it wasn't just a mistake. It wasn't just happenstance. It wasn't coincidence. It was God working. And the fact that you sit here tonight saved and able to proudly say or boldly say, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved, is the grace of God and nothing else. The grace of God. You sit here tonight enjoying the blessings of his mercy and his kindness. Verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, there you go. Ruth, a pagan Gentile, by God's grace chooses God after she hears the good news of bread in Bethlehem. And by the way, Bethlehem means the house of God. Okay. Bethlehem, or the house of bread, the house of bread. Go back to the house of bread. That's your Lord and Savior. And so Orpah kisses, and she turns and goes back. Ruth, it says, clave unto her and would not leave go. And she says some beautiful words to Naomi. After she says, why don't you return back with your sister-in-law? Why don't you go back with her? And Ruth says this. She chooses Naomi's God. And she comes forth with some of the most beautiful words in the Word of God. When my wife and I got married, we exchanged vows. And we also read scripture to each other up there in front of all the people that were there. And I read some scripture to her, how I'm promising to be a wonderful husband. And I've been all that ever since. I'm just joking. Okay. Telling her how I'm going to take care of her and reading scripture out of there. My wife, in turn, uses this passage to talk to me before we got married. And she read these things to me. And I will say she's kept them all. All right. She's done a very good job keeping them all. And these are beautiful words. Entreat me not to leave thee. She says, whither thou goest, I will go. That gives us life's direction. Whither you go, I will go. No, the Lord says, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. That's what he said to his Father up in heaven. And we need to say the same thing. Wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, I'll do that. Whither thou goest, Naomi, I'm going to go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. That's life's supply. Where you stay, I will stay. And you know what? God never fails. Go to Psalm 37. Psalm 37 and verse 25. Psalm 37, verse 25. This is always an interesting verse. I have been young, and now am old. I see a lot of you here tonight that would fit that real good, right? I've been in the ministry for 40 years. I've watched some of you. You were young at one time, 40 years ago. now you're old. Okay. I have been young, and now am old. I include myself on that, okay? Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He does take care of us. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. In all the 40 years, I've watched the Lord do just that. Oh, have there been times when it seemed like things weren't going just right or anything? Oh, yeah, a lot of times like that. But we've prayed each other through it. we've lifted each other before the Lord, and I have found the Lord always faithful. Always. He never lets us down. Thy people shall be my people, she says. You know what that is? That's life's companions. I want to have the companions you have, Naomi. Now, wait a minute. Naomi already lost her husband, two sons, and she's saying, thy people will be my people, life's companions. You know, there must have been something about Naomi's testimony, possibly about her talking about the country she left over the years or the time. There was 10 years, it says, that they dwelt in Moab. She must have had something to say in those 10 years about the land back home, which caused Ruth to say, you know what? I'm staying with you, Naomi. I'm not going back to my country. My country does not have what your country has. Beulah land. Song comes to my mind. I'm dreaming of a country, right? Even Abraham says, I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Did Naomi talk about the land back home, Bethlehem, Judah? That's the land out of where David would come. It's the land out of where our Savior Jesus Christ would come out of. Ruth says, thy people shall be my people, life's companions. She would not let her family back in Moab keep her back. Jesus said to the one man who said, well, I'll follow you, but first let me bury my father. Let the dead bury the dead. Wow. You come with me. You know, we need to make God's people our people. And then she says, thy God will be my God. That's life's allegiance. She turned her back on her own religion or religions, and the break was clean. No compromise on Ruth's part. Oh, no. Thy God will be my God. That's the way it's going to be. No compromise with it. Well, I'll try your God out. No. Thy God will be my God. Thy people will be my people. Where you lodge, that's where I'm going to lodge. Whither thou goest, I will go. Life's direction, life's supply, life's companions, life's allegiance would be to the God of Naomi. Until it comes right down to saying this, where thou diest, will I die. That's complete dedication, isn't it? That's life's dedication. No turning back. Philippians chapter 3 comes to mind, if you would just go there quickly. Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul speaks very similarly here. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. See if you can't fit Ruth in here, okay, as we read this. All right. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. You see Ruth in that? What things were gained to me, I count but loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. I see someone here just reaching out like Ruth did to Naomi. I want Jesus Christ. I want to know him. I want to know the power of his resurrection. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. You know what? The Lord Jesus Christ wants you to enjoy the new life in Christ. The resurrected life in Christ. And I believe that's it. What's coming out in this passage here. That Paul wants to know the resurrected Christ better and be conformed to that in his own life while he's here on this earth. Verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high call of God in Christ Jesus. Can you see Ruth in there? Can you see yourself there? Where thou diest, will I die. Life's dedication. Then she goes further. Then she goes further. And she says in verse 17, and there will I be buried. She was going through this to the end of her life. She was going to go through with this. And there will I be buried. That's life's fullness. You know what? Once she would die and be buried, there was never any chance for her to go back. She died in the land with Naomi. There's no going back then. And she lived her whole life out there. How is it? Have you determined that to be the way that you're going to be as well with the Lord? Whither thou goest, I will go, Lord. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. You know, the Lord said, I don't even have a place to put my head. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Thy people shall be my people. I find sweet fellowship among the saints like I cannot find anywhere else. You know, man, a lot of you guys have jobs and work. Every once in a while, the jobs want to say, well, we're going to have a party, an office party, or something like that, you know. In the back of your mind, you know already, even before you go, it really isn't going to be where I want to be. But when the pastor announces, we're going to have service tonight, you know, that's where I want to be. That's where I want to go. I want to be with those who are going to be there. We're going to sing, rejoice in the Lord, our Savior, and that's where I want to be. Amen for that. Thy God, my God. You know what? This world's gods are of man's inventions. I'll take the God of the Bible. Where thou diest, will I die. You know, we're all in this together. And then you know what? I will be buried in Christ Jesus, my Lord. I'm going all the way. There's no turning back. And there's no separation forever as a result of this. Well, next week, next time we get together here, verse 22 is a very interesting verse. And the ending phrase of the chapter, see that there? And they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. That's not by just pure coincidence. That isn't just because, well, you know, I think the writer of this book is just trying to make something. No, no. Barley harvest is about to take place just when Naomi and Ruth arrive back in the land. God is already working behind the scenes to do a great work in two people's lives that eventually, listen to this now, that eventually affects you're listening to me or on the internet, your eternal destiny. You sit here tonight saved, it's because they arrived at barley harvest. And we'll see as we continue on through the book of Ruth. It gets better. It gets gooder and gooder and gooder. All right. But what I like about Ruth is, and if Jason could come and we can get that chorus, Ralph, where is it? No turning back. 31. 31 out of your chorus book, number 31. No turning back. Let's stand and sing this almost like as if Is it? Yeah, I have decided. That's the name. So let's stand and sing this like a closing prayer together, just like Ruth. Now, we don't want to be like Orpah. This song's not about Orpah. This song's about Ruth. Okay? No turning back. Let's go forward. Let's serve the Lord. All right, number 31. Jason.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No, I won't turn back.
All right, before we sing the next three verses, are you going to go up to another key each time, by the way? On the last one. All right. But when we get to the last phrase, no turning back, instead of just saying again, no turning back, say it this way. No, I won't turn back. No, I won't turn back. All right. We'll do that on each of the rest of the verses here.
The world behind me, the cross before me.
Churches in the area here, he's got a brain tumor. They operated, they took out as much as they could and closed him back up, and he's not been able to go home. He's still in the hospital, can't talk and things like that. They did do some therapy, and did you say he's able to say some things? Or
I'm not really sure.
All right.
I didn't have that much.
Yeah, okay.
I think
yeah.
Physical therapy was helping.
Yeah.
But
okay.
Speaking didn't seem to come to mind.
Yeah, and so this week he's going to be on chemotherapy every day this week. All right? He's just, what is he, nine years old. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. Just keep it in your mind, if you would, throughout the week as you pray and talk to the Lord at various times throughout the day. Just take his name to the Lord. Greg Smith III. Okay, if you can't remember that, it's in our prayer bulletin. But if not, the Lord knows. You just say, Lord, help that little boy this week to get through that. Whew. That's going to be tough. All right, let's pray and be dismissed. Dear God, thank you for being so gracious to us like you were to Naomi. As far as we've gotten in the book so far, she can't quite see it yet, but she will. She will. And sometimes we can't quite see it either, but we will. You've never let us down, and you've promised never to do that. So help us as we go our way, and help us to have that radiant testimony of the good news of the bread of life. As we go our way, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.